Hello, Donna. It's good to be here. Well, I praise the Lord for a good day. It's a little overcast, but the sun is shining. You just can't see it. Use your eye of faith, and the sun is still there. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about intentional preparation. Doing stuff on purpose. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 10, the scripture says, Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go into to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And so God told Joshua to tell the people to make provision, to prepare for what was ahead of them. There were some things they were going into the land, but he said, make provision for this, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan. Well, you say, what's that got to do with me? I'm saved. Well, yeah, that's good. And that's a wonderful thing. But that doesn't mean God's through yet with what's going on in your life and where God wants you to go or become. See, all what we've been taught mostly is just how to go to heaven. And heaven's a real place. And I'm going there, but that's not my concern. I'm absolutely not concerned about going to heaven. I'll get there when it's time. But I am concerned about being and doing in the earth what God's called me to be, and you ought to be too, really. That word, prepare, is a Hebrew word that means to establish, to fix, or to prepare. To confirm, to direct, to make ready, to set right, to be stable. It has all those meanings. And that doesn't happen overnight. And you have to set about doing that on purpose. I want you to, if you would, turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles and chapter 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 12, and we want to read verse 13. Start at verse 13. And this is about a man, a king of Judah named Rehoboam. And Rehoboam was Solomon's son. And we could talk to you about him, but that's not the issue right at this moment. I just want to show you something he did or didn't do, actually. 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 13 says, so King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. Now, Jeroboam was 41 years old when he became king. And he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. His mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And then verse 14 says a very critically important thing. It says, and he did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. He didn't make preparation to draw near to God. He did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Now that word evil there, you can see this in the Strong's Concordance, number 7451 in the Hebrew dictionary. It could be translated as bad, or as a noun, evil, natural or moral evil. He created adversity, affliction or calamity or displeasure because he didn't prepare his heart to seek the Lord. What Rehoboam did when he got to be king, and you can read this in probably in the in the 11th chapter, and also in the book of Kings. But I'm just going to tell you what it was. We're not going to try to go read all of it. But anyway, he went to the elders, the older men that were leaders under the reign of his father Solomon, and he asked them, "How do you think I ought to order this government?" And they told him what they thought. And then he went to the guys his age, younger men, and said, "What do you think I ought to do to order this government?" And they told him what they thought. The first ones, the older guys, gave him a more succinct answer, and probably would have been a better answer. But there's one person he didn't go to. He didn't go to God and ask him what he wanted him to do. He went to man. And so when it says that he did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord, as king of the kingdom of Judah under God Almighty, his responsibility was not to go to man and ask questions, but to go to God. He went to man. He went to the older men, the older leaders, men that were Solomon's counselors. And then he went to the young guys his age. And he didn't go to God. So he did evil. He created adversity, affliction, calamity, distress, grief, mischief. All of those things. Actually, what happened was the king, because of the counsel that he took of the younger men, it caused the kingdom to be divided. And it says very clearly, it gives us the answer as to why he did evil, because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. So you have to prepare your heart. You have to take the time to establish, to fix, to understand, to know what God's doing. What is God saying? He did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. And so what I'm wanting us to look at and think about this morning is, on purpose, finding out what God's doing. Now, God, he was in order to be king. It fell to him from God to do that, but he didn't take time to go see what God was saying. Now, let's look at another man. Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 19. And we'll start at verse 1. The scripture says, 2 Chronicles 19:1 says, "Then Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned safely to his house." Now, when it says he returned safely, it's telling us about something that happened in chapter 18. Jehoshaphat had married one of Ahab's daughters, which he ought not to have done. And you'll see why in a minute. And because of that, he went out. Ahab had a war going on, and Jehoshaphat went to check on his father-in-law, and Ahab asked him to go out to war with him, and he said, "Well, yeah," he said, "you're my men are your men, and I'm with you. We're together in this." And that was the war and battle that Ahab got killed in. It's all right there in the book. And it says in chapter 19, verse 1, "Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned safely to his house in Jerusalem." He came back from that battle alive. But it says in verse 2, "And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer," or prophet, "went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, 'Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord?'" See, Ahab was one of the most wicked kings, not the most, but one of the most wicked kings that ruled over the northern 10 tribes of Israel. He was the one that was married to the Jezebel woman. Mm. And
most people know that name.
Yeah, they know that name. Well, that was his wife. And Ahab was not a good guy. And so the prophet said to him, "Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Therefore, the wrath of the Lord is upon you. Nevertheless, good things are found in you in that you have removed the wooden images from the land." He took down the idols that the people had put up. "And have prepared your heart to seek the Lord." Now, he prepared his heart to seek the Lord in some areas, but obviously he didn't ask God about going to help Ahab. You see, I'm learning that it's useful to ask God questions.
Yes.
Just because God tells you one thing doesn't mean he told you everything about that one thing. Oh, you say, "Well, Brother Tisdale, if God tells you something, yeah, that ought to be good." Well, yeah, it is good. But I'm finding out God, for a very good reason, God doesn't tell us everything. You say, "Well, why not?" Well, I'm going to tell you why he doesn't tell you everything, what I've discovered. God wants you to communicate with him.
Amen.
God wants to talk to you. God loves you, and he wants you to come to him and ask him questions. And what happens is, coming to God and talking to him, we call prayer. But usually when we pray, we go to God and tell him the problem and then tell him how to fix it. And God doesn't need me to tell him how to fix it. What God does want and what he needs me to do is, in respect to what is going on in my life and what he said and what he's doing, he needs me to be talking to him about what he's doing, not what I'm doing. Because I've discovered sometimes what I'm doing, I may be thinking I'm starting on something or doing something he said do, but maybe I ain't doing it the way he wants me to do it.
Because I didn't slow down long enough to ask him.
That's right. I just got in a hurry and went out and did it. I assumed something. And assumption creates problems.
Amen.
And so the prophet said to him, "Nevertheless, good things are found in you in that you have removed the wooden images from the land and have prepared your heart to seek the Lord." He had done something in that respect to prepare his heart, but he hadn't done it fully. He had not. He did not ask God about that issue of going over there and helping Ahab. God didn't tell him to do that. That's just like when Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 got to where God told him to go. It says he got there at the land, he built an altar and he worshiped God and he did all this. And then when he got there, he discovered there was a famine in the land. And next thing we know, he went south and went to Egypt. Well, that probably was a, in the natural way of thinking, was a good thing to do because they got a river down there. If there was a famine in the land, that meant there wasn't any grass for his cattle and there wasn't any water, so he did have to look after his cattle, but he had a bigger responsibility than that. He was sent there by God, and God didn't tell him to go to Egypt.
Mm.
He just went. He didn't ask God. He did not ask God whether or not he should go. He just went. And further than that, in the 16th chapter of Genesis, when Sarah decided that God had restrained her from having children and they needed to help God, Abraham didn't ask God, "Are you doing this, or is that her thinking?" Now, whether it's her thinking or his thinking, it certainly wasn't God's thinking. "Your thoughts are not my thoughts, and your ways are not my ways," God says. So, but he didn't say, "I couldn't know his thoughts." He didn't say, "I couldn't think his thoughts." He didn't say, "I couldn't walk in his ways." But I have to ask him, what is that? How is that? There's a lot, the Bible tells us, brothers and sisters, the Bible tells us a whole lot of stuff. Gives us lots of answers. But I'm discovering that he doesn't give us all the answers in the Bible. God wants us to come to him and talk to him. He's our Father. My wife and I have five children, from 54 to 42, and You know, I love my children, but I don't tell them anything unless they ask. I don't give them answers to questions they haven't asked. And I've discovered God's like that. He doesn't give you answers to questions you haven't asked. And all of us can look back and see that there's some places where we made some missteps because we didn't ask God questions. And so asking questions is part of the intentional preparation. Ezra, the book of Ezra. Let's go see what Mr. Ezra did. Ezra chapter 7. In chapter 7, verse 9, it says, "On the first day of the first month, he, Ezra, began his journey from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem." It took him 4 months to make this trip. And he says he came to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it." He had a good journey because he'd made preparation. He asked God what to do before he left. He prepared his heart, it says, to seek the law of the Lord or the Word of God and to do it. A lot of people read the Bible, but they don't prepare their heart to do it. Some of the stuff God says do is not fun. Some of the stuff He says do is not easy. A lot of folks think, well, if I'm going to walk with God, everything's going to be fun and it's all going to be all right and I'm God's man and it's all going to work out all right. Well, yeah, it's going to work out all right, but nobody said it was going to be fun.
Or easy.
Or easy.
He said it's impossible.
It's possible. That's right. So Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. And here's a thought. A lot of folks are just looking in the Bible for stuff to teach and to talk about. But you have to prepare your heart to do it before you teach it. Amen. If you're teaching it and not doing it, you're just blowing in the wind. Because your life is not a good example of what the Word of God says. I have to prepare my heart to do, not only to seek the Lord to know, but to do. And that's another reason why God wants us to communicate with Him. He wants us to communicate with Him, but He wants us to know how to do, not just how to say. It's all right to be able to say, be saying God's Word, but if you're not saying it and doing it, If that's what I'm just doing, it, saying it and not doing it, then my witness is not a good witness at all. Now let's go look at Brother David in Psalms 57. About this, we're still talking about this thing about preparing our heart to serve the Lord. Let's just start at verse 1 and read a little bit here. David's praying, and it says in the heading there that this is when he fled from Saul into the cave of Adullam. It says, "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by." He was drawing near to God till he got through the mess. He wasn't just out fighting a fight just to be fighting it. But he was drawing near to God. He said, "In the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge. I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me." He wasn't figuring on being able to do it all himself. He was trusting God to perform all things for me. He says, "He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up. God shall send forth His mercy and His truth." Now listen to what he says here in Psalms 57 verse 4. "My soul is among lions. I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows. Their tongue is a sharp sword." In other words, he's dealing with circumstances and situations that involve people. Saul was after him. Saul wanted to kill him. Actually, if you read the scripture, David loved Saul. He respected him. He really wanted Saul to be a father to him. But Saul was insane with jealousy and with having disobeyed what the prophet Samuel had said to him earlier. He really went off the track. Verse 5 says, "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps." You see, he knew what was going on, but he was looking to God for the answer. "They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They've dug a pit before me. Into the midst of it, they themselves have fallen." Now listen to what he says in verse 7. "My heart is steadfast." That's that same word that was translated prepared. "My heart is steadfast, O God." In other words, he said, "I've prepared my heart. I'm drawing near to you. I'm listening, talking to and listening to you. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Awake my glory. Awake lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn." He said, "I'll be about this business of communicating with God early. Not waiting until the middle of the day."
Amen.
"I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you among the nations, for your mercy reaches unto the heavens, and your truth unto the clouds." You know, I don't think David found that out just by thinking it up himself. I think he found out these truths from God himself by drawing near to God. His heart wasn't steadfast without drawing near to God. You see, the scripture says, "Draw near to God and He'll draw near to you." And so when we look here and when we see that David is calling out to God, listening to God, watching in God's presence, watching for what He's doing, you say, "Well, what's that mean?" Well, Jesus said this, "I only say what I hear my Father say, and I only do what I see my Father do." And since Jesus is our example, then that's something we need to do. And the only way to see what He's doing and the only way to hear what He's saying is to draw near to Him. And that means take time and get still. Talk to God. Ask God questions. Make preparation to fulfill the commission that God has given you. Don't sit around and think up yourself the ideas. Listen to what God has to say. And as we do that, while we find that we can do what God says do, because we've established our hearts, we've prepared our hearts, we've made our hearts steadfast by understanding and knowing what He's saying about the thing. And I can know that because I've asked Him questions. I've talked with Him. That's one way to make preparation. One way to prepare your heart for what's before you is to ask God questions. See, He says that He wouldn't do anything but what He'd reveal it to His prophets. And you say, "Well, I'm not a prophet." Well, the prophet lives in you. His name is Jesus. And He wants to talk to you. But we got to be at the place where we won't listen. We'll listen. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, I thank You and I praise You, Lord, for Your goodness and Your kindness. I thank You, my Father, for the blessing and the privilege we have of drawing near to You. Lord, help us to recognize and realize that You love us and You love for us to fellowship and commune with You. That You like for us to draw near and not only worship and honor You, but to talk to You and ask You questions. To be willing to learn at your feet. Father, I thank You for the blessing and the privilege we have of asking questions. Learning to know Your word, Your will, and Your way. I thank You, my Father, and I praise You for these things. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.